This is The Poet and the Poem from the Library of Congress. I'm Grace Cavalieri. Kwame Alexander is here, poet, producer, Superman, old friend. Kwame has a new book of anthology. What's in it? What's the title? And give us some information.
This is the honey. This is the anthology of contemporary Black poets. There are 146 poets in here, Grace, and 154 poems. I feel like this is about the language of joy. This is about the language of love. I wanted to create a text that was going to move beyond sort of the trauma that everybody often associates with being Black in America. Yeah, there's trauma, but there's also triumph. I wanted this book to reflect that.
Can you read us a poem, Kwame Alexander?
Your Dream Is by Jason Reynolds. Your dream is the mole behind your ear, that chip in your front tooth, your freckles. It's the thing that makes you special, but not the thing that makes you great. The courage in trying, the passion in living, and the acknowledgement and appreciation of the beauty happening around does that.
That is Kwame Alexander, who's the editor of this book. And tell us how long this took putting it together, what you did in the making, and how you invited the poets.
So I probably worked on it for about 3 or 4 years, and I decided to curate it. I didn't take submissions. I wanted to curate this. And so I reached out to poets I knew. And once I got sort of some of the more renowned and famous poets, mm-hmm. I then contacted some other poets and said, these famous poets are going to be in the book. So it became easier at each stage in the process. But yeah, so I curated it. I read a lot of books. I had an amazing colleague named Marjorie Wentworth, who used to be the Poet Laureate of South Carolina. She helped me.
Yeah.
Find a lot of pieces. It was like putting a puzzle together, Grace. And I feel like we got to that last piece, and it's pretty remarkable.
It's going to make history and poetry as you are. And I remember, I think that you were on the program 20 years ago here, and it, or was it 15? I think it was 20. And at that time,
about 15 years ago.
About 15? Okay. At that time, I had a different bio for you. And I'm going to ask you if you remember Crush, Love Poems.
Yep.
And Family Pictures.
Wow.
And you actually had 10 books before these two, as a matter of fact, even as a young man. And remember the Capitol Book Fest?
Yeah.
Presented by the Washington Post. And the Book a Day, Book in a Day. What was that?
Yeah, that was a publishing and writing workshop that I did in schools. I'd go in a school for one day and I'd work with the same group of students for about 6 hours and teach them how to publish a book, teach them all aspects. And the sort of the result of the class was they would actually have a book. So it was a really rewarding experience in terms of teaching life-giving and life-saving literacy.
And you have been doing this every day ever since, which I think is remarkable. It tells us to whatever we believe in, to take action. And boy, you never take a day off. Give us some more from the Honey Book.
This is the poem by Yusuf Komunyakaa, and it's a prayer for workers. Bless the woman, man, and child who honor earth by opening shine in the soil, the splayed hour between dampness and dust, to plant a few seedlings in furrows and then pray for cooling rain. Bless the fields, the catch, the hunt, and the wild fruit, and let no one go hungry tonight or tomorrow. Mm-hmm. Let the wind and birds send a future ferried into villages and towns, the other side of mountains, along nameless rivers. Bless those born with hands made to do work, hewn timbers and stone raised from earth and shaped in circles, who know the geometry of corners, and please level the foundation and pinch a roof so good work isn't diminished by rain. Bless the farmer. So yeah, it's a pretty long piece, but that's sort of the vibe of it. And it's a devotional, you know, and And it's reminding us of how important all of the things we all do are.
We have the time today, Kwame, for the longest poem you have. I want to talk about your career, and I honestly didn't know where to begin, but I just want to read a little bit of your bio just to put my toe in the water. And we know you're a poet, educator, and producer, a number one New York Times bestselling author of 40 books, including Why Fathers Cry at Night, An American Story, The Doer of No Return, and Rebound, which was up for the Carnegie Medal. Yep. The Undefeated. Am I right about that? That's a British. That's the English, right?
Correct.
And then The Undefeated. Was that the National Book Award nominee?
Yes.
That was a Newbery Honor, Caldecott Medal winning picture book, illustrated by Kadir Nelson. You are the executive producer, showrunner, and Emmy-winning writer of the crossover TV series based on the Newbery Medal-winning novel. Now, is that series based on The Undefeated?
No.
What is it based on?
Crossover.
Oh, right. Uh-huh.
A novel I wrote in 2014 is when it was published. So the TV series is based on that novel.
And it premiered on Disney.
On Disney Plus in April of 2023. And then on December 16th, it won an Emmy Award.
I know. I saw you brandishing that about. Do you keep it on your mantelpiece?
You know what? Emmy has been traveling with me and I haven't really been home. So she's on a tour along with her.
Do you still live in Washington?
I live in the D.C. area.
Oh, well, that's good. So you come home once in a while.
Exactly.
And were your sisters and brothers at the Emmy?
No one was at the Emmy because we didn't have enough tickets. It was just me.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. Well, I think when we had the presentation of the Washington Writers Poetry Collection, Writers Collection at the Melvin Gelman George Washington University Library, I think your parents were there.
Were. You have a good memory. They were there.
I do. And you had a pinstripe suit on.
Ah, I no longer have that suit, but it's a pinstripe.
You look good. You looked good. And you had on a purple silk shirt on the Stephen Colbert Show.
Oh, you watched me on that.
And you had an awesome turtleneck on Morning Joe.
Oh.
So we get the sweatshirt, Kwame. This is the down home neighborhood, Kwame. Yes, I've been watching your, honey, I've been watching your moves. Because
yeah,
I've been knowing you a long time.
Long time.
Anyway, let's get back to Honey. Tell us the proper title of the book and give us another poem. It doesn't matter how long it takes.
This is The Honey, which is an amazing title, an apropos title, given to me by Mahogany Brown, who wrote a poem that's in this collection. And the poem is fittingly called This is the Honey, which I shall read by Mahogany Brown. There is no room on this planet for anything less than a miracle. We gather here today to revel in the rebellion of a silent tongue. Every day we lean forward into the light of our brightest designs and cherish the sun. Praise our hands and throats, each incantation a jubilee of a people dreaming wildly, despite the dirt beneath our feet or the wind pushing against our greatest efforts. Soil creates things. Art births change. This is the honey. And doesn't it taste like a promise where your heart is an accordion and our laughter is a soundtrack? Friend, dance to this good song. Look how it holds our names. Each bone of our flesh home sings welcome. Oh, look at the gods dancing as the rain rains against a steely skyline, where grandparents sit on the porch and nod at the spectacle in awe of the perfection of their grandchildren's faces. Each small discovery unearthed in its own outpour. Tomorrow, our daughters will travel the world with each poem, and our sons will design cities against the backdrops of living museums. Yes, our children will spend chalk until each equation bursts a familial tree, rooted in miraculous possibilities and alive.
Kwame, You know what makes all this happen?
What?
Your spirit. You have the structure of a life, which means activity, purpose. Then you have the energy, the honest energy. But the spiritual purpose, honey, nothing works without that. And your sweet goodness, you've always been that way. I've never known you to hurt anyone. And that's going to serve you well. It's going to serve you well, Kwame. I want to talk about your life. So what were you when you were 5 years old? What were you like?
The opposite of everything you just said.
You were a bad, mischievous boy.
Oh, my gosh.
Naughty.
Yes, precocious. I was always in the stuff. Like, I had to be in the middle of something.
I think that's creativity, but was that annoying?
If you're going up in your granny's attic, you're just uncovering all kinds of stuff, and it's like a scavenger treasure hunt for you. But for her, I would imagine she wants some privacy. She doesn't want me going through all her stuff.
But who loved you so much?
Oh, everybody. There was so much love from parents to grandparents to aunts and uncles. We had a real community.
Mm-hmm.
Together in unity. And you felt that love constantly.
You know, I'm glad you said that, because that's not typical in America. People are very singular. The family where your aunts and uncles are really family and not just, you know, concentric circles out here, that is very, very unusual. And that is so nourishing. So who mentored you? Who said to you, take this baton? A high school teacher?
Nobody said, take this baton, other than my parents. But sort of indirectly, Nikki Giovanni said, take this baton. She was my professor at Virginia Tech.
Oh,
so I studied with her.
Mm-hmm. You honor her quite a bit, yes.
Yeah, there was never any sort of formal mentor relationship, but she was my professor. So I learned, you know, in her classes. But I also watched her and learned from seeing how she moved about as a poet in this world. And so if there's any writer I can say who helped me like tremendously, significantly in my writing career, it's Nikki Giovanni, hands down.
But to give you self-confidence beside your parents, wasn't there a third grade teacher that said there was something sparkling in you? Didn't you have a high school teacher that said, boy, you really can write?
Mm.
Maybe not, but in my own life, I have been saved by teachers, saved from humiliation, and they taught me how to do that for others.
Yeah, I can only really remember two teachers who fit that bill, and that would be Nikki Giovanni in college,
mm-hmm.
and probably Miss Virgil in first grade.
Well, let's speak to Miss Virgil then, because Miss Virgil doesn't get enough press, I don't think. So we'll say her name. What did she do for you?
Ms. Virgil, she had a contest at the beginning of the year. If you read 100 books, you read 100 books by the end of the year, you get a t-shirt. And she showed us the t-shirt, and the t-shirt was magnificent. It was a white t-shirt with red letters. I remember it to this day. So I read 100 books in the first 2 weeks of school because I really wanted that shirt. She was so proud of me.
Did you get it?
Gave me the shirt.
Do you still have it?
No.
We'll get you one. The Library of Congress will get you a t-shirt. I promise you that. Go back to the anthology. I know all the poets so far that you've read. So let's go to deeper and broader.
Gonna go deeper and broader, huh?
Just open it to any page and we have a winner. How about one of yours, Kwame? I like the one that you read to your children to tell your children about how you are still a family.
All right. I'm reading. Ooh, this is a good one. I'm reading To Racism by Lucinda Roy.
Okay.
In recognition of the looming extinction As prison for profit marched our next millionth man to jail, we took matters into our own hands, propelled you to the nearest dumpster and threw you in. We were sick to death of you, peeking from under the white connotative shears, trying to play the invisible man. We would have rid ourselves of you for good if it hadn't been for all that whimpering. A good Samaritan, a lawyer, I think, reached in, sewed you up as tight as pigskin, and siphoned you back out onto the streets. When I saw you again in the future, shadows, you were cradling a black doll like the one Daddy bought for me. I swear, I thought you had a come to Jesus moment till I looked harder and saw your Mickey Mouse menstrual glove, black face slathered on thick as Hershey's. And then the crow called, and I heard twin sockets shrieking where the doll's eyes should have been. And this poem is familiar to people who don't read poetry, who don't know it's not supposed to work like this, which is why I wrote it, which is why it will be read.
Mm-hmm. Powerful, so much power in that book. So much variations of voices, too. Kwame has an entertainment company called Big C Entertainment, and there's many things that are going on, but one is a reality television series for writers. Is that something that is in the works?
Yes. It's taking me, this has been a 30-year journey, you know, since I wrote my first book. I've loved every minute of it. And along the way, I've had quite a few people tell me, no, your poetry is not good. No, your poems won't be accepted into this journal. No, we won't publish you. I've heard no a lot. And, you know, the goal here is to be able to find the yes, to be able to figure out how to say yes. And so that's one of the things that I've been trying to do and offer to people out here is to remind them of my journey and hopefully inspire theirs.
Yes is the way we go on. Yes is the reason we go on. So you wish to provide that for other people and make it a little easier for them?
Absolutely. I mean, if we can sort of bottle and capsule this inspiration and this journey that I've been on, if we can create a lifestyle reality series that takes my journey and makes it into a authentic and meaningful TV format, yeah, it's certainly doable. And I think that's what we're trying to do. We're trying to create other Kwamis, not per se, but we're trying to create other writing opportunities, much like the ones that I somehow found my way through.
Didn't find your way through. You diligently, persistently, every day, chipped away at the marble to make light come through. And it's an everyday effort, and you're still doing it. It wasn't a stroke of genius. This is a daily practice, like meditation, like Buddhism. It's a spiritual practice. It's of service to the world. I take it very seriously. I take service very seriously. Nothing happens without it. But do you get tired? What keeps you going?
You get tired.
You know, Hemingway said, stop when the juices are high, so that you leave something on your desk which is unfinished. Like, I love to wake up to my desk because there's so much that's alive there waiting for me.
Right.
So is that what keeps you hydrated?
Yeah. I mean, I do a lot of walking. I drink a lot of water.
Yeah.
When I get up in the morning to write at about 5 a.m., I always have a cup of Earl Grey tea. Those are some of the things I do.
You know, I should use you as my example. I'm giving a keynote on energy and writing. And don't you think that the body, the vessel, we have to live a certain way to have energy on a page?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
You got to walk through life as a willing participant. In order to write something interesting, you got to have something interesting to write about, which means you got to have some sort of interesting life, right?
Let's hear more from the anthology, please.
This is a poem by E. Ethelbert Miller.
My brother.
Called "The Ear is an Organ Made for Love." It was the language that left us first, the great migration of words. When people spoke, they punched each other in the mouth. There was no vocabulary for love. Women became masculine and could no longer give birth to warmth or a simple caress with their lips. Tongues were overweight from profanity and the taste of nastiness. It settled over cities like fog, smothering everywhere, everything in sight. My ears begged for camouflage and the chance to go to war. Everywhere was the decay of how we sound. Someone said it reminded them of the time Sonny Rollins disappeared. People spread stories of how the air would never be the same or forgive. It was the end of civilization, and nowhere could one hear the first notes of a love supreme. It was as if John Coltrane had never been born.
That is beautiful. That is beautiful. You've been watching the state of poetry for 30 years. So do you think it's evolving, or do you think you're evolving? Do you think that it's always been really rich and fertile and had to be uncovered? Or do you think we see that poetry is getting better and better? Yeah. Or there's more poets?
I think it's definitely getting, the poetry is getting stronger and getting better. You know, we're becoming more sensitive and sensible, especially in the midst of so much chaos and divisiveness in this country. So those of us who know, we know. Those of us on the right side of history, we know. I think poetry is evolving in that sense. I think poetry is every 5 or 10 years has this sort of resurgence or renaissance. And people say, oh, poetry is back, but it really never left. It's just there's something that happened out in the culture that maybe gave it a jump start. And so most recently would have been Amanda Gorman giving the inaugural poem for President Biden. But poetry never really leaves.
No, not since the ancient time. Not since, it's the only record we have of humankind since before Plutarch. I mean, we have documents about kings and queens, but it's the only record we have of the human, what humans felt is in the poetry, and it remains that way. But also, I think technology, early on, I said, listen, if it's going to be there, let's put poetry on it, because we wouldn't have seen Amanda Gorman without technology. Right. So what you're doing is saying, you know, here you poets deserve to be heard. And that's more happening than 50 years ago. More poets are getting to be heard, and you're making that happen. So it's all good, honey. Let's have it.
So this is a piece from the book that really speaks to me because it's about jazz. You know, jazz is the music I listen to when I'm writing. Jazz is the music I discovered in my father's attic that let me know he was a cool cat and not just some boring academic. This is a piece by a pretty cool guy, a poet in the D.C. area, who's a jazz historian. His name is Reuben Jackson, and this is for Duke Ellington. Music is your mistress, demanding constant love and international settings. As always, you stroll beside her. Again, grumpy orchestra springs into elegance at the drop of your hand. Even so, there are casualties. The years pass, you bury rabbit and sweet pea, run your fingers across the black keys, dip the color into your hair. Cancerous nose rush toward a harrowing cadenza. Pen kisses paper. A lover in no particular hurry. The music reveals itself, a negligee black note at a time.
Thank you.
Yes.
Let's have a closing poem.
Closing poem by Kevin Young. And this is a piece that I found very sort of relatable in that I played tennis in high school and college. And this is a poem about Arthur Ashe. It's called Ashe. For years, I've wanted to write how exactly I felt with you hovering on my wall, framed midair, about to strike the ball above you. Arthur Ashe, in your tennis whites, I pictured you lifted into whatever came after this photo's instant, firing a volley or striking a serve down the throat of your opponent like a pill. Your signature below my name seemed more real to me than most things. Bullies or whatever wisdom got cracked out of me like a knuckle, more real than being unable to see without glass before my eyes. I saw you sported glasses too, Your hair a microphone cover to help keep the static down. Even your photo has a sound. Call it about to be. Call it maybe. No, probably. Name it after every unlikely you made into something. You swing in my head like Count Basie, only there's no royalty, no music anymore like yours. Woo-wee!
The dear voice of Kwame Alexander reading from This Is the Honey, and it is The Poet and the Poem. The program is produced by Forest Woods Media Production, post-production by Mike Turpin, MET Studios. We wish to thank the library for making the program possible. Funding is provided by the Sinipet Fund, Rivada Foundation, the Women of the Song in the Room, Natalie Canavore, and Sandy Jackson Cohen. Mike Turpin's our engineer. I'm Grace Cavalieri.